Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you study a whole book of the Bible, one of the challenges that you have is finding a way to see the big picture. We certainly learn a lot of things by digging into the details of verses and sections of the scripture, but it's also very easy to get lost in those details. So, in order to combat this challenge, we've been memorizing some verses and also learning a kind of lyrical chant to help us keep the big picture of Romans in mind. So, here are your memory verses so far. And by the way, these are going to be available. They are available in a printout, and it looks like this. It's all there in the narthex, and so you can grab one of these on your way out today. It's got the memory verses, and then on the back, that chant so far that we've been learning. So let's look through those verses as we get started today as a kind of way of jogging our memory and kind of getting back into the whole picture of the book of Romans. By the way, before we do this, I want to say to you, as a way of encouragement, that some of you have really obviously made a lot of effort in memorizing one or more of these verses. And that's great. Way to go. And some of you have not really made any effort at all. And yet, it turns out that you're kind of starting to memorize them. Why would that be? Well, as the Latin saying goes, repetitio mater memoriae, repetition is the mother of memory. What do you remember? Those things that you repeat over and over and over again. So even if you're only repeating them here on Sunday morning, yet somehow they're kind of getting into your brain, into your heart, aren't they? These verses. So let's run through them. Let's look at that first one. Romans 1:16. We say it together. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And the next one, Romans 3:23 and 24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then we have Romans 5:8, and it says, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then we have that long one, Romans 6:1 through 14, which we're just going to say the first verse. So we say together, what shall we say then? Are we to go on sinning so that grace may abound? And you say, by no means. Right. And then next, Romans 8:37 through 39. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You can say the reference, that's fine. Romans 8:37 to 39. And then here is our chant. So we've got these memory verses. We're going to add one more memory verse today. It's on the sheet. And then we've got the chant that we're doing. And so I know I kind of, this whole motion thing is a little bit awkward, even for me, right? But let's try it out. So the first three verses, the first three chapters are like this. I think you can do it with me. There's sin out there. There's sin in here. There's sin in you and me. All right, that's Romans 1 through 3. Romans 4 through 6. But we have a promise that gives us peace, so we walk in newness of life, 4 through 6. And then 7 and 8. And we fight against sin and the devil each day, since with Jesus the battle is won. Very good. So I've been practicing this, kind of saying it over and over again, seeing if I can get it in my memory, just like I want for you. There's sin out there, there's sin in here, there's sin in you and me. But we have a promise that gives us peace, so we walk in newness of life. And we fight against sin and the devil each day, since with Jesus the battle is won. We're going to add one more little couplet to that today at the end. So remember, last week we were in Romans 9. We saw God's mercy, 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 alongside Paul's compassion, his compassion for his kinsmen, the Jews. Paul is yearning for their salvation, but he knows the truth, because that's what he's been telling us in those first 8 chapters, the truth that all people are sinners, that all people deserve condemnation, and his kinsmen are no different. In fact, they may in fact find themselves in a worse place because they think they're pretty good people, which is always trouble for us. If we think we're pretty good people, then we think, well, what do we need Jesus for? Paul knows that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, and he knows that it's the only way. We don't earn our way into heaven by obeying God's law. In fact, God's law, remember, S-O-S, shows our sin. God's law shows us that we are not perfect. It's a mirror that shows us who we really are. Held up to that perfect standard of God's holiness, we find that we are, as we confess, poor, miserable sinners. You confess that, you think, miserable. Am I really miserable? Well, what happens is that sin, when we embrace it, actually produces misery in our hearts. It's not just another adjective to say, you're so bad, you're miserable. It's the reality that sin produces misery, that when we run after things that are not the things that God has called us to, that rather than filling us with the joy that they promised to fill us with, they fill us instead with misery. We don't feel great. We feel awful because we're running after things that don't give life, but rather that lead to death. The law, S-O-S, shows our sin. The gospel, though, the good news that Christ has come to bear our sins and rescue us through his death on the cross, gospel shows our salvation. S-O-S shows our salvation. And so the Apostle Paul yearns, he yearns, don't you like that word, yearns, for his people to be saved. It's a deep yearning that those who are lost in sin would be found, that the gospel would be proclaimed and heard and believed by his own people. This is compassion, this is mercy, this is love, the love of God in Christ, the love of Paul for his neighbors. Today, in Romans 10, Paul continues to encourage the church at Rome and the church here at Faith Marietta, encouraging us to put our love into action. See, 8 chapters of Romans fill our head with good theology so that we know the right things, we believe the right things, our peace and our hope and our confidence are in the right things, not in ourselves, but in Christ crucified. But now, as we're turning into the second half of this epistle, we see Paul talking to us about action. What does the life of a Christian look like? How now should we live? And Paul says that we should put our faith into action. Look again at verses 13 through 15 in the epistle for today, as he encourages us to get out there and share the good news of Jesus with others. Here's what he says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Paul loves his people. Paul wants his people to be saved. But to be saved, he recognizes there's an important chain of events, some things that need to happen, some events and actions. And those events and actions, they comprise the miraculous ministry of God's church. To be saved, a person must call upon the name of the Lord. And to call on him, they must believe in him. And to believe in him, they must hear about him. You can't call upon Jesus if you don't know who Jesus is. It used to be in our culture that we could presume that people knew the scriptures a little bit. They kind of had a background knowledge of the Bible. It used to be that we could presume that people kind of understood a little bit about Jesus. Those days are gone in our culture. People don't know about Jesus. Many of them can't say any factual thing about Jesus. I served in Asia with my family for 5 years, and I asked one of the Asian Christians, what do you think the Asian people think of Jesus? And he looked at me and he said, "Pastor, they don't even know who Jesus is." It's not so different here. People don't know who Jesus is. Maybe they've heard about him, caricatured. They don't know the Christ who loves them and laid down his life for them. This is the mission of the church. We are the people who are to be sent to preach, to share God's love with others. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring and preach good news. The imagery here of beautiful feet. I mean, many of you probably think feet. There is no way those are beautiful, right? Beautiful feet. What is the imagery? The imagery is of a messenger coming back from the battlefield. Can you imagine it? Can you put yourself there? There's a war being waged against us. We're afraid that the enemy will win. The enemy is so evil, so fierce, so destructive, and our king has gone to battle for us. The outcome is uncertain. Can our king really defeat this enemy, this evil enemy? I mean, no one else has been able to defeat him before. Then in the distance, the messenger comes. He's running to us, bringing news. What news? What news will he bring? Is it bad news? Are we lost? Are we destined for destruction? No. No, the messenger says, it's good news. The battle is won. Our king is victorious. The riches of his victory are ours. In that moment, the fear and worry and doubt are taken away. And all that is left is joy. Joy because our king has won, and he brings that victory to us, even now, even this very day. Isn't this what the divine service is all about? We gather here to hear once again that beautiful message that Jesus is victorious over all of your sin, over all of this world's machinations, over death itself. Jesus is victorious for you. Now come and receive that victory in his word and sacrament. What a wonderful message. What a beautiful message. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring this good news. But isn't it true? Isn't it true that our hearts are not always into this evangelism thing? We're not always super committed to sharing the gospel with others. Why is that? Well, sometimes it's because, frankly, we're busy and we're selfish. We want to do what we want to do. We have so much on our to-do list. So many things occupying us. So many plans. And frankly, we're just not so concerned about others and their well-being. Sometimes that's the case. And for this, we need to repent. We need to confess this and ask for God's help, that we would truly have love and compassion for the people around us. And sometimes we don't share the good news because, I am ashamed of the gospel. I've been pondering this question even since we were in Romans chapter 1. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we pass by that statement as though it's not terribly deep, don't we? We say, well, duh, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, I'm here in church. Yeah, that's true. But now that we're here in Romans 10, there's a little more rubber meeting the road, isn't there? Paul is calling us to have compassion on our neighbors and to share the gospel with them, and the question of whether we're ashamed of the gospel really figures in pretty significantly when it comes to evangelism. Paul sets the example for us in this. Like, one of the things that we really need to take away from Romans 9 and 10 is an encouragement to actually care for the people around us, to care about their salvation. And this is true of the people that we love, and even also of the people that we count as enemies. Paul cared. He cared enough to risk his status, his relationships, even his life. He loved his people so much that he stood against their misguided traditions. He stood against what he described as their ignorance. Even in this chapter, verse 3, he describes them as ignorance. He stands against that. He makes himself their enemies because he loves them. More than once as a missionary, the Jews pursue Paul, trying to kill him because he keeps on preaching this good news that Jesus is the one to whom you should be looking. He is the one who has life and salvation. He is the King of Kings and your Savior. He keeps on doing this. He keeps on preaching this gospel. He's not ashamed of this gospel, even though it puts him at odds with others, because he wants more than anything that they would become as he is, a forgiven child of God by faith in Jesus. Dear Christians, this is God's calling for you too. He calls you to care, to really love your neighbor. We gather here this day to receive the love of God in word and sacrament. We know his mercy and peace that surpass understanding. We are now meant to take that same message of love and mercy to others. We are called to be the people with beautiful feet. In fact, this is our memory verse, which we're adding to the mix today. Romans 10, verse 15, the second half. We say together, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I think of my grandmother, Ida, my uncle, Lyle. It's kind of a side. Every time I'm up here singing the Kyrie, the Lord be with you, I think of my uncle Lyle. It's the very first time I ever heard the Kyrie was him, an assistant to the pastor, saying the Kyrie. Every time. Beautiful feet, right? Beautiful feet that have brought me the good news. My grandmother, my Uncle Lyle, my dad, my pastor, John Sauer, who was the pastor who confirmed me. These are just a few of the saints that brought the gospel to me. And today, all of them are with Jesus. Thanks be to God. I'm so thankful for them, for their faithfulness, for their beautiful feet, because without their beautiful feet, I would not be here. Think of my own wife and my children. Think of you who've gathered here at Faith for worship. I think of the staff and the students at Faith Lutheran School and their families, and I pray for God's help that I too would have beautiful feet to boldly proclaim God's word of forgiveness, that you would have life and salvation. And I think of you gathered here together and the people that you in your life can touch with the gospel. Your friends, your family, your neighbors. And I pray that you too would have beautiful feet, that you would truly say with the apostle, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation, and I yearn that those who today are lost and condemned would hear and believe this gospel and be saved. So let's look at our new chant. All together, and we're going to keep going all the way through it. There's sin out there, there's sin in here, there's sin in you and me. But we have a promise that gives us peace, so we walk in newness of life. We fight against sin and the devil each day, since with Jesus the battle is won. And we pray God's mercy for neighbors, so with beautiful feet we run to tell the good news about Jesus to any and everyone. So this morning I want to encourage you to get specific. Romans 9 and 10, the rubber is meeting the road. I want you to think about a person. Somebody you know who needs the gospel. And I want you to begin praying. Remember I said the prayer cards, that there was going to be an opportunity for you today? Take one of those prayer cards. Take it out of the pew in front of you. And write that person's name. Write their name on that card. The person that needs the gospel. And if you want to put that in the offering, I encourage you to do that so that the whole church can begin to pray for the souls of our neighbors. The whole church can pray for them by name, that the mercy of God would be known to them. And if you want to take it home and put it in your Bible where you're going to read it each day, or put it up on your fridge so you can see it each day, that's okay too. Let the whole church pray. And as for you, do not be ashamed of the gospel, but instead use your beautiful feet and go to share the good news, to proclaim the victory of Christ, and invite others here to his holy house to receive these gifts of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in this one true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.